We are, as a people of God, if we don't change our attitude, our stand, or lose heart, we are at the precipice of great things. I'm still believing for all of us, and I hope you guys are in agreement with me, that this is the year of dynamic explosions. Still, it's not over. It's not over. And it looked like it was just kind of moseying along, but then all of a sudden, pieces start to come together. The owner of the store, he got on the camera twice when he snatched the mic, and he said, "You know, I heard somebody say, you know, if I got to go through 100 no's to get to that yes, you know, that's what I got to do, you know." And he started quoting Vision Builders quotes, right? And then he tried to say, "You ready? Let's grow," but he said it wrong. He said something about, "Are you ready? Something, whatever." And I said, "Okay." So he's doing Vision Builders quotes, and he said, "Yeah, this, you got to watch that." And you know, and just to see, like, it's on a small scale, but still big to me. We're like celebrity, you know, when we come to the skating rink, when we go to the stores, when we come to these places. When you're posting online and people begin to see you, they begin to recognize you like celebrity. You don't think about it. So when they come to the store now, they're coming to the store not for fluid art, they're coming to the store to see, "Oh, I saw you on the internet. Oh, I saw your video." You know, and all of a sudden they come and they want to take a picture with you, and then they want to go ahead and do the stuff. People care more about you. I know this is not Vision Builders, but everything I do is Vision Builders. It's all tied together. People come for you and then the product. I said this on Vision Builders. I say it here because it's God's wisdom is flowing through this stuff. People still line up in the middle of the night in tents and chairs and stuff and sleep outside the Apple store for iPhones. Steve Jobs dead. He's not even here. And they're still showing up in respect and honor to that person. To the person. You got other phones you can get. I don't know why, but you can. My point is, I'm just playing. But my point is, people show up for the gift on and in you. And if the gift and on and in you is right, like I said to Nelly, once we get to a certain place, we could come out and say, "Okay, now we're making toilet paper," and people will go buy it. Why? Because the people respect and look for the glow in you. The gift is on you, not the thing, but the person. The anointing is on you. It is what it is. It's good seeing all your beautiful faces this morning, and I want to be encouraging. I want to stay encouraging. That's encouraging is what I do. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6 as I set you up and let you know what we're talking about. The title of today's message is When You Pray. The enemy will do everything to try to make you feel embarrassed or not worthy of God. So then you will make the mistake of trying to feel worthy of God. Listen close to what I'm about to say. You're listening? So you'll try your best to make yourself feel worthy of God by the response of man. Come on, that's bars right there. So we'll start trying to see if God approves of us by how people treat us. And what I'm learning is that's not the focus. I question how God felt about me by how family treated me. And now my family treats me phenomenally. So did God hate me then and love me now? No, he loved me through all of it, but he needed me to be free from the need of the approval and the praise of people. Somebody say amen. We need to be free. I don't mean I don't care what nobody think about me and screw all of them. That's not the spirit I'm talking about, because that's not real. That's a lie. That's trying to hide hurt with anger. I'm talking about where you really get free to the point that you're like, something I said a long time ago, but it took me this long to receive it. I want you to like me. I want you to understand me. I want you to appreciate me. But if you don't, I'll be okay. I'll be just fine. I'll live. And that's the place I am in my life right now. It'd be great. Can we all just get along? Oh, we can't? Okay, then you go over there then, and I'll stay over here. I'll be fine. God wants us. And what I'm saying is, we know it, but I'm trying to drive it home a different way today. God wants us to be already successful, at peace, satisfied, and comfortable in Him. We're not fit for a mate. We're not fit for success. We're not fit for any of that stuff if those things are missing. You'll get those things and realize you're still naked, and then you go around trying to create something that doesn't exist and live in misery your whole life. It just doesn't matter. I remember when I had nothing and my family didn't treat me well, and I'm not talking about my immediate family. I'm talking about family, my family and extended family. And then when I became successful, I thought they would say, wow, we were wrong about you. Boy, did we have it wrong. You know what they said? I remember when you didn't have that, and I remember when you was just this, and I remember, right? And they said, are we going to keep the memory alive of the person we want to see you as? And you know what it always seems to be? Just a little or a lot less than them. So when I pray, I'm learning that the way I pray, I know again, everything I'm saying is common sense, but it's just not so common to most Christians, and it's not as common as we claim it is. So I don't want these to be cliches. I'm now speaking, hear the spirit of how I'm bringing this to you. When I go before God and pray, I should only be concerned about, watch this, how he sees me. One, how many of you can wave your hand and say, I know that to be true. And two, how I see myself in him. Come on. Okay. I realized that I kept saying, well, it only matters how God sees me. But no, it doesn't only matter how God sees me, it matters how I see myself in him. It matters how I perceive myself in him, because out of the abundance of my heart, not out of the abundance of God's heart, out of the abundance of heart, my heart is that what I'm going to speak and what I'm going to live and what I'm going to speak into the air and what I'm going to manifest. I'm going to speak how I believe I'm perceived by God. And then I'm going to push that perception on other people. So I believe that God sees me as crap or below. I'm going to then always judge everybody else by the, you ain't good enough for God. Or if I see, believe that God wants me to be in pain and lack and suffer, I'm going to tell everybody that that's what God wants for them. Does this start to make sense now? And if I believe that everything in life, you know, is a hardship and hard time and God, then I'm going to push that on everybody else. And I'm going to be mad and upset or self-righteously judgmental of everyone who's not experiencing what I'm experiencing, negative or positive. So I want to break down Matthew chapter 6 from a different place. And I'm going to start reading and we're going to talk a little bit. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Read that again. Be careful. He didn't just say, don't do it. He said, be careful. What does it mean when you tell somebody to be careful? What does it mean? If you want to chat, throw it in chat, you can if you want to. But what does it mean when you tell somebody, be careful? I don't want people treating that as a figure of speech. That's a warning, isn't it? But it's not a warning and a chastisement. It's a warning of from the heart of love and concern. Be careful. I want you to be careful now. Why? Because if you could get hurt doing this, is what that usually means, right? You can hurt yourself. This can be dangerous, right? Isn't that what that means? Isn't that what that means? So watch this. He said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Why? What could happen? Okay, be careful. Be careful. Don't do that. Why? Right? Isn't that the next question? Why? Well, what happens? What happened if I do that? If you do, then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Ooh. If I don't speak another word today outside of what I said already in this, the story is being told. Be careful not to do your righteousness to be seen by men, not to carry yourself in some way to be liked and loved and accepted by people. Don't do things to be a people pleaser or a man pleaser. We always say, yeah, we don't want to be a people pleaser. We want to be a God pleaser. But it's the reason why he says, and this is crazy. If you do, somebody say, if you do, you will have no reward. Read that. Read that. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That is a very inclusive statement. I never saw that before. If I'm running around trying to get people to like me, I negate my reward from God in heaven. That's big, big, big. You see the kind of stuff I've been teaching lately and showing lately? Be quiet, let your emotions be taken out of it and all this stuff. God gave me a word for Nelly the other day. Man, it was a powerful word. And it was a confirming word to everything that God spoke to her in the past of what was going to happen. And she got emotional and she danced and she jumped around and she shouted, she pumped her fist. And I sat there and I said, okay, now is where you get quiet and put all that aside and hear his instruction. That was good. You got all that out your system. Now you got to be still to hear. And for the rest of the day, she was almost in a daze. I kept saying, are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm just thinking about the bigness of what was just said. And I'm like, but that's the place you need to be. Don't be frightened by it, but also don't get too jumpy, because now that God said it, what does the word say? Much is required to whom much is given. So now you got to sit down, be still, and watch what he's doing and be sensitive to hear, to know, turn here back. No, you went too far. Back up right there. Okay, now turn. See, all of this stuff is important. When we're walking out the way, look, now you got me saying important like you now, right? All of this stuff is important to what God is calling you to. It's what God is calling you to. So he's saying, yes, hear me, do the dance, but then stop the dance and do the work. So if he's saying, this is very important, I'm going to start the chapter off with this. When you spend time trying to be approved of and doing things to be accepted by man, you negate or cancel. He said, no reward, nothing from God. I can see places where I've missed out on God's blessings in my life. I know I'm not the only one trying to please or satisfy people. I've seen people go into debt, ruin their credit, cripple themselves financially. Why? Trying to please somebody else, trying to make somebody else happy, trying to make somebody else believe that they're doing the right thing, or whatever the case may be, and put themselves in holes, buy stuff that they can't afford, all this kind of stuff to do what? Please men, please women, please people. God said, then you got your reward. I won't do anything for you. I know I stayed on that long, but if that's missed, the rest of this is useless. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. I'm adding the word already in full. What does that mean? That praise and that recognition and that acknowledgement they get in front of men for doing what they do is all they get. That is their reward. Now, why am I parking on that for a hot second? Because I and you and most people ignore that first verse once we read this. Well, I don't stand on the street and make, I don't give my stuff out and make noise so people can see me. And so, yeah, that this so. And right away, we conclude this is only talking about giving. It's not only talking about giving. It's talking about anything that you do to draw attention to yourself. And you don't feel good about yourself until people pat you on the back and tell you you good. It's all in there. So don't take this now and say, well, I don't do that, so therefore it doesn't count to me. He says, be careful that you don't practice being right and right standing for God for people to see you. Let's keep going. So when you bless the needy and you stuff, don't do it, because he said people who do that don't make noise and try to draw attention to you, because you have your reward. And he said in full, basically says nothing beyond that are you going to receive. So this is twice in a row that he said, if you do that, you receive nothing over here. I want you to understand that. It's twice he said that. I don't know about you, but I'm checking my heart right now with all diligence. I'm really like searching myself since I've been preparing this message. This is the message I was going to do last week, but we went, you know, into a conversation and we didn't get there. But, and God wanted me to go there. But this week, God's having me come back to this. I want you to know that you need to watch your steps. Watch your step. Be careful where you're walking. Be careful. Be careful. Okay. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. So I talked about this with the business, talked about this with the oil. We talked about it early. We came to this guy and said, we want to have an oil in your store. People come to him all the time with these great ideas, with these products that they're going to put in the store. He even showed me a poster that he's ripped down. He said, I'm ripping this one down, putting your poster here. They came here, they had this whole poster. They showed me this whole thing, and then they never showed up with a product, and it never happened. He said, this happens all the time. We didn't keep coming back to him telling us what we were doing. We just went and started doing it. And then he saw it. And they saw it. And the people saw it. God's reward shows itself in open when we do what he tells us to do in quiet. I just finished shooting a video recently, which we will be releasing soon, where I'm talking about, you know, from one of the videos from TikTok, about doing everything in quiet and then let the have the party. One of the statements was buy your house in secret and then invite and then have a big announcement for the housewarming. You know, it was little things like that. It's like, listen, get engaged quietly and then have a big celebration. You know, the bottom line is these are not conclusive steps in that case. These are just thoughts, ways to consider things. But in the case of this, he's telling you, no, this is specifically what I'm telling you. Do not do it. Now, I don't think you should. I don't think it's a good idea. Don't do it that way, because there's no reward that comes with doing it that way. I want everybody to know that I'm there. Okay, well, now everybody knows you are. Receiving any blessings from God? I'm just saying. I'll stop talking. I'll finish reading. So do it in secret between you and God. Do the stuff you do. But this gift God gave me is for me to share with men. Yeah. You just got to be careful again. Back to be careful with that. Yes, the gift God gave you is to be shared with men. Your talent, your idea, your business, your dream, your ministry. Yeah, that's all to be shared with men. But here's the question. Has it become for the approval and the praise of men? Have you lost focus on, God, I just do this for you, even if nobody ever sees me? If nobody ever buys an oil, if nobody ever buys a cookie, if nobody ever buys anything, Lord, can I just be quiet and do this before you? I remember when I started posting, thank you, Dr. Brown. I remember when I started posting videos. I was like, God, well, I'm just doing these videos because you called me to, and that's it. Whatever happens, happens. If it don't happen, it don't happen. And that went well. Until one of my videos got 300,000 views and went viral. And I was like, okay, so now what I got to do, I don't know what it is, but we got to get that happening again. We got to, you know, we got to figure out what we need to do to make us see the videos ain't doing that anymore. And God was like, wait, I thought you was just making the videos because I told you to. Now you're making them to go viral. So that's your motivation now. You lost sight of what you want. Come on. Don't look at me like that. You know, I'm telling the truth. Team Vision Builders, you hear what I'm saying? God was like, wait a minute. You didn't do anything to make that happen. You just made a video. Now you're trying to copy the formula. So you could, like he said, stop all of that. You're listening to me? Come on, can I get an amen for somebody? He said, no, you just keep doing what I told you to do. Don't get caught up in trying to please people. Don't get caught up in trying to go viral. Don't get caught up in trying to make everybody like your stuff. Who am I talking to today? Am I talking to anybody? You're just sitting there looking at me kind of like you don't even know. Like, who am I talking to up in here? I'm telling you the keys to the real victory. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The object for us in this season, the object for us in this season is to really pull back and focus on who we are, what are we called to do. God kept saying to me, you and Nelly trying to get married. You want to get married. God, why are you pushing it off? He said, I'm going to tell you why. Because you want to get married so you can be together legally and do married people stuff. And have a mate, not just to do the married people stuff, but then have a mate and do all this kind of stuff. He said, but you guys have forgot to stay in front of me to find out is what is the purpose I put you together for? Why did I put you together? What did I call you to? You've been praying for a destiny your whole life. You've been wishing you had a destiny partner. You have one. Please don't get so caught up in now we could be together and we don't have to be alone and then we can do the thing. And all of that is wrong. What did you put us together for, God? What is the destiny you called us to? Why did you put us here on this earth? You so proud and like to talk about, yeah, me and others, we live pure. We live in pure. God's like, okay, so now you're doing it before men then. So you get to boast about the fact that you, okay, really? That's not what you're together for. I tell you, God checks me. I just come and share it with you. Receive it, don't receive it. It's up to you. I'm just giving it to you as it is. Is this a blessing to somebody? So I said, okay, Lord, okay. He said, don't stop doing stuff for the praise of men. Stop doing stuff to be seen by people. Stop doing stuff so you can toot your horn and say, look at us. We God people. God's like, no, you shouldn't have to say that. Just live this life. You guys are called to a destiny. I know this is ministering to Nelly too. So be careful twice. Do it in secret. Point number two, don't do it to be please men. Number one, do it in secret before God to be rewarded openly by God. Number two, and number three, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, we have an interpretation of what a hypocrite is. And a hypocrite to us is a person who claims to be a Christian and claims to be holy and righteous, but they're not. And they claim to be a godly person, but they cuss people out. And we have our own self-righteous judgment of what a hypocrite is. But I found out for the first time that there's a definition of a hypocrite that came from the Lord. This is Jesus talking. And his definition of a hypocrite goes a bit deeper than ours. It cuts a little closer to home. And don't be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And he said, again, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So he's calling a hypocrite not somebody who claims to be a Christian and don't live like a Christian. He's saying a hypocrite is somebody who stands on the street to display their Christianity or show off again to show off who they are and do it in public. He said, now this is, stay with me, saints. This is a tough one, but aren't we supposed to represent and aren't we the light of the world, right? And aren't we supposed to do our good deeds, you know, before men, right? Isn't that what a Christian is supposed to do? And he's saying, no, you do the deeds and you are seen by men, but you do it for the purpose of being seen by God or being pleased by God, whether men see you or acknowledge you or not. The statement is being repeated over and over again. It's not what you do, it's the heart you do it with. It's not what you do, it's the heart you do it with. It's not what you do, it's the heart you do it with. Have I not been saying it's the spirit you bring to it makes a big difference, doesn't it? Is the spirit that you bring to it makes a big difference. The spirit you bring to it. And we talked about that from cooking food to anything. If you come to it with a spirit, Nellie and I were at an IHOP getting an omelet and they didn't put something in the omelet. And I said, you know, this is not an omelet. And she went to the back and said to the guy, and he was like, come on. He didn't put the mushrooms in whatever. And I heard him. So when she came back, I said, I don't want anything from him. And he said, yeah, he may spit in the food. I wasn't even worried about that. I didn't want that spirit cooking my food. You follow what I'm saying? I don't even want you cooking for me. The Bible says, don't eat their dainty meals and foods because you throw up the very food you ate. Don't eat from people that don't want you in their house or don't want you around. Don't take nothing from people who are doing it like you're grieving them or ruining their lives for them to do it for you. He said, don't even eat it. I heard the tone and I said, I don't want it. I don't want it. Never mind. We won't. We'll just go. We don't want the food. And I said it loud in the restaurant. I don't want his spirit cooking my food. I don't want his spirit touching my food. God is saying, I don't want your spirit praising me. I don't want you worshiping me and standing before me with your hands up with that kind of spirit, that you're doing it to be seen of people, that you're doing it to put on a show, you're doing it to be recognized, you're doing it to be pat on the back by men and not by me. I don't want your food. Don't even serve it to me. I don't even want to eat it. You're gonna, whatever you got from those people is all you get. There's no more to get. And this is why this is so important, because we love the Lord's Prayer, which is what we're leading to, but he's setting up prerequisites before the Lord's Prayer. I want you to hear this, because I'm gonna be bringing this to an end soon, but I want you to get this. This is all prerequisite to, but when you pray, say this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is or before that. We like to just skip straight to the Lord's Prayer, but he's saying there's some guidelines. So the Lord's Prayer don't work for you if you do it to be seen or to be received praise or pass on the back or claps of men. I'm going to put my Bible down for a minute. I'm going to have a quick little conversation with you. Is that okay? This is a tough one, because we're made in the image and likeness of God, who is praiseworthy. and inhabits the praise of us. So like our Father, there's a part of us that inhabits praise. Don't tell me I'm wrong. It's the truth. Hurt when people reject you, turn their back on you, happy and thrilled to the core when people love you and say good things about you. That's part of our God nature. It's important that we understand that.
Because God made us image in his image and likeness, we seek, we desire, we inhabit praise. I don't think that's evil. The Bible says God will say to us, well done. And it's clear here, he's saying that if you do right, there's a reward that comes from him. So there is a praise that is due you. He didn't say that that was a problem. He didn't say that the fact that you desire to be acknowledged and people to clap for you and acknowledge you is a bad thing in the sense that you have the desire. The problem is you want it from men and not from God. That's the problem. The problem is men appreciating you and exalting you, which the Bible says you have favor and in high esteem in the sight of men. It promises that. But seeking God and receiving that praise is much different than seeking that praise from men and hoping that God may be kind of looking in. Did y'all catch that? The priority is and needs to be for me and you and all of us that I only care what he thinks and everything else, as people say, then that's just icing. But the meat, the core of the cake has to be, I'm doing this for God's approval and God's approval primarily, if not only. And it should be only, but I'm saying primarily to kind of get us on the track, okay? But the true reality is the only approval that we should be seeking is his. Can we have a quick word of prayer? Because that's a strong word right there. Father, we come before you today seeking you for the balance, seeking you for the right approach, the right mind. Yes, this world from school to work to everything we do is a merit system. The whole life, our parents, everything, every reward, everything is a merit system. We've been taught to praise and seek the approval of and be praised by men. Everything around us pulls us in that direction. I don't know how in my natural man to change the course of that. But I believe we all in agreement and one accord today come before you saying, we're here for it. We're here for it. We receive it. We're ready for it. Do what's necessary to make us better. We want to learn this principle in the core of our beings. Seek you first and seek you primarily and then seek you only and let everybody else's approval just be that. We need to be in a place that your approval is all that matters to us. And we know that that's something we have to unlearn. And we know learning is one thing, but unlearning is another. And so here we are before you, laying our hearts and minds down before you to learn, to learn, to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to finish my reading, and then we're done. So he said, this is what a hypocrite is. He made it very clear. You want to know what a hypocrite is? In verse 5, he said, and when you pray, don't be like a hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I truly tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, and before I go into this, I want you to understand this. He did not say, and don't be like the hypocrites who pray like this, but they don't really do it. or they don't really practice what they preach, or they don't really carry themselves the way they should. He didn't say anything about that. You notice that? Did you notice that? He said, these are the hypocrites, the ones who do it to be seen in public. God is calling that a hypocrite, not what we as church folk have twisted around to mean. So God says you are a hypocrite if you do it for people to acknowledge you over him. How many got a new definition of what a hypocrite is today? I'm not doing it for people. We're not doing it for people. I'm speaking for us. We're one. We're unity. We're a household. We're strong. We are seeking God to search our hearts and to walk us out of that mess from this day forward. Amen? So he said they love to be seen. They stand up in the synagogues, they stand up in the church, they, I gotta do my praise then. How come I don't get to lead the praise then? Well, she led the praise dance last week. It's supposed to be my week to lead the praise dance. He said, you have your reward. You might as well go take, you might as well go in the club and twerk because it ain't worth no better. Because he said, your heart is not doing it for me. You fighting for attention and you fighting to be seen by men. And God said, I got no honor for none of that and no reward coming from that at all. And the people said, go ahead, girl, you do that. That's it. You got your praise. You got your reward. What the scripture said, in full, in totality, there's no reward that goes with it. Whew, that's a hard statement, isn't it? God help us to not do things in ministry, in church, or anywhere else to be pat on the back by men. Let me finish this. But when you pray, the title of this message, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on. And I love this one. Do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Now, before we go to his prayer, God don't like a lot of mouth running, obviously. Some of us, meaning well, have a tendency to just babble on and on and on and on and on and on and on when you pray, thinking that God is moved by that. I've said this time and time again. You should spend, if it's an hour, you should spend 15 minutes praying and saying, you know, and that's not even prayer. Prayer is not telling God what your issues are. That is not prayer. That's supplication. Prayer is praying quietly before God, speaking to God and allowing God to speak to you. Prayer is a conversation, is a communication. And if the only person is talking in the prayer or the whole, through the whole thing is you, then that's not prayer. I've had people go to all-night prayer and somebody stand in front of the room all night just running their mouth. And I walk away from there feeling empty as empty can be because I'm like, oh, did anybody hear anything from God? Everybody's talking. So listen to me. You don't have to be long and drawn out. Doesn't the scripture say he knows what you have need of before you ask him? So prayer time is listening. Supplication is sharing with God your concerns or the things on your heart. But prayer, that's why it says, in everything through prayer and supplication, make your requests known. So this prayer, that's praying his word to him, his word, and listening for and through his word. And supplication is sharing your concerns. Spend more time in prayer, less time in supplication. God don't need this long, drawn out whirlwind of conversation that you think you need to update him with. And definitely, this is where this done in front of men, you receive no reward come from. Because people get in these prayer circles and everybody's trying to outpray the next person by saying a whole bunch of stuff for hours and hours and hours. And I've been in situations like that and they're going around the room and everybody's praying And then they get to me, I say, in Jesus' name, amen. They look at me all funny. I'm like, listen, I'm not here to say, can you top my prayer? This is some bull crap. I'm not doing this mess. I'm not. In Jesus' name, amen. And I've done that literally. And made a prayer. Pastor Diamond, you want to say something? In Jesus' name, amen. But when you pray, go into your room. This is where the word prayer closet comes from. Close the door and pray real loud so everybody in the house will say, ooh, they in their prayer closet. Ooh, they in that closet. You can hear them all through the oh, Shonda, 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 all over the place. Ooh, when you go in your room and close the door, make sure the neighbors and everybody hear you praying in tongues, hallelujah. Turn the gospel music up loud when you go in there so everybody can just hear you worshiping. Woo! Amen. No, it's not what he said. Not what he said. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. The Amplified says, openly. He sees you in secret, he rewards you openly. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. So when you're doing all that babbling and talking and on and on and on, he said, you're nothing like pagans. Do you know what a pagan is? Does anybody know what a pagan is? Pagans are people who worship idols. Pagans are people who worship days and suns and moons and things other than God. So he said, when you're doing all that talking and all that loud running your mouth and stuff, he said, you're no different to me you might as well go and worship a golden calf. You're a pagan. This is not what's being taught in church, but this is what Jesus is saying in the Bible. All that talking and all that running of the mouth, that's paganism. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. So they think they will be heard. He said, because they think. Again, this is the red letters. This is Jesus talking. So they think because they're saying a lot, they will be heard. Let me give you an example. Let me see if Jesus practiced what he preached. How many of you ever heard Jesus do a long drawn out prayer throughout his whole walking ministry? Anybody? No. No. He taught, but when he came to the tomb, he just said, Lazarus, come forth. Thank you, Father, that you've heard me. That's the shortest prayer on the planet. I thank you, Father, that you heard me. What does that mean? What I said to you in private as I was coming from there to here, or that long 3-day walk, whatever it was that it took for me to get from there to here, me and you were having a conversation, and I know you heard me, and I heard you. And when he got to the sepulchre, it was a bunch to say because it was all said in secret between him and God. And then he just got there and said, Lord, I thank you that you heard me. Lazarus, come forth. 3-word prayer. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. There's one more way that shuts down all the running in the mouth and babbling and talking. He knows what you need before you ask him. He knows what you need before you ask him. He knows what you need before you ask him. Don't be a pagan. Don't do it for people. Don't dance around and show up for people to think you're spiritual. I just put my cloth on my head. I fast for 5 days. Well, that's all for men. He said, do that privately in your closet. You ain't gotta let everybody know you fast every third Sunday from Saturday night to Monday morning. You don't have to tell everybody that. That's your reward. Ooh, yeah, you spiritual man. I wish I could be like that. That is your reward. Watch this in full. I'm not making this up. Are you seeing in the scripture what I'm seeing? I'm not trying to check you. I'm trying to check me. Do what you want with this. I'm checking me right now. I'm looking at this saying, some stuff need to be fixed. I'm claiming a dynamic explosion. I'm probably the dynamic explosion of people recognizing me might be the only dynamic explosion I'm getting to some things, if that's where my spirit is. This may be a little strong, but it is, it'll help you. Don't be like them.
For your father knows what you need before you ask him. So here's how you simply should pray. He gives you the whole layout and guideline. Hey, Father in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yes, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm trying to make it palatable for what he's saying to everyday life. Hey, Father in heaven, your name is holy to be praised. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth, in me. We've studied that before. It doesn't say on earth. Its original language is in earth. We're made of earth. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You give us every day our daily bread. Thank you for that. Please forgive us our debts. And also lead us and help us to forgive those who have debted against us. Now, debts are not just financial. Debts are trespasses. Debts are offenses. Debts, when people do these things to us, they owe us. They owe us. That's why he said, the Lord will repay. Judgment of mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I shall repay. So he's saying it's a debt. If somebody does something against you, he says, that's a debt. Forgive them that debt, I will repay. I will take care of them. I will deal with it. You let it go. Forgive the debt. Are you listening? Speaking to you. Talking to you. Talking to you. Forgive us our trespasses, it says. And we'll forgive as we forgive those who trespass against us. So when you trespass as the debt, there's something to be collected. We'll let them go. You let me go. I'll let them go. You let me go. I forgive them. You forgive me. Mark 11 says the same thing around verse 24. When you stand praying, you have ought against anyone, forgive them. Another place says if you realize you come before me and you have ought in your heart toward them, leave your gift, go make it right, and then come back. Present your gift. He's saying, I want you to forgive, to let go, to let go. You're learning something today. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the evil one. You don't lead us into temptation. Well, God let that happen to show you something. When God put you through that to teach you, he said, no, I don't lead you into evil. I do not. I deliver you from the evil one. I do not lead you to anything with him. You don't lead us into temptation. You deliver us from the evil one. Then it goes here. Last verse I'm reading today. But if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Step one, don't do stuff to be seen in front of others. Step two, when you help others, don't be a hypocrite and do it for other people to see. Keep that to yourself. Step three, when you pray, don't need a bunch of words. Do it in silence for you and God. God who hears you in secret will bless you openly. Step four, we forgive others. We let them go. God provides our daily bread. He takes care of us. He provides our need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. These are simple, but then intense steps, step-by-step process. How many of you in for your dynamic breakthrough this year? These are the steps. Don't get upset. with yourself. Don't try to make everything right in one shot. It's a process. It's a process. And if you stumble in the process, God knows. He's already have planned a redemption for you. He already knows. So I started by saying we went to the store and the guy was like, yeah, whatever. Same thing guy Bill said. Yeah, whatever. We'll see. The instant response was kind of wasn't a no. It was like kind of a negative maybe. We pushed through. Same thing with this. God knows you're going to mess up, make some mistakes. But go back. Take this to your refrigerator. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Ask God to inscribe it. And let's walk this out together. Let's hold each other up. Liz and I was talking the other day and she was sharing some stuff. At one point I just said, you're doing a lot of talking. She said, am I saying too much? I said, I think you just need to be quiet. Hear what God is saying. We don't have to try to sell anything to God. We don't have to try to convince God that he's blessing us. Let me say that one more time. We don't have to try to convince God that he's blessing us. We don't have to try to convince God he's blessing us. We don't have to try to convince people that God is blessing us. Just do it in your closet, quiet. Walk it out. How many of you know people? I'll say this before I go, but this is a good place to bring it up. They come up to you every time they see you. I'm losing weight. Can you tell? Can you tell? Can you tell? In your mind, you go, you're going like, yeah. In your mind, you're like, no. Like, just do it. You don't have to keep asking. When it's visible, everybody will see it. Everybody will say it. Just do it. Just do what you need to do. Take care of yourself. And you know, in your closet, when you go to the gym, when you're doing your workouts, that's your closet. Some people that you're trying to get to see you, they're not there to see that. But you do it privately, and people will see it publicly. Spiritual things are very much the same. Natural things are the same. When you plant a seed in the ground, nobody don't see anything but dirt. You can water it every day. Nobody sees anything but dirt. But when it manifests, everybody sees it. Amen. I haven't said this in a long time, but it fits. May the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. Amen. Love you, family.